Boy, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. I'm excited to be here this morning. I just about had a fit right back there. And if I didn't think I would scare some of you to death, I would have. But man, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Just thankful that all of my hope is in Jesus this morning. We'll take your Bibles and turn me to John chapter number 10. We'll be taking some reading from there in just a moment. Just thankful for the opportunity to be in God's house. You know, I spent this week in the car with my girls. My wife and my son's been in Alabama for the last few days. He's been playing baseball and really enjoyed the youth service last Sunday morning. Just thank God for the way that God's working in our young people here in our church. But we spent this week going down the road going eeny, meeny, desa, meeny, do, wop, do, all, meeny. I don't know whether y'all did that or not, but I don't know. That's kind of what we took away from some of the service last week. Man, what excitement it is to see our young people being on fire for the glory of God. Tell you what, that puts us as adults in a great big responsibility to lead our children and to lead our young men and women in our church and keep pointing them toward worshiping God, because He is worthy of all of our worship this morning. If you're here this morning and you're visiting with us for the first time, we want to welcome you here. If you're here for the second or the third time, we already consider you family, so you're still welcome, but we want to especially welcome our first-time visitors. If you're here and you need facilities for any reason, as you go out the back doors, if you work your way down either hallway, you'll run into facilities. We do have a nursery if you need it, but I'm going to tell you right now, don't you worry about being loud on my behalf. If I can't out-preach your son or daughter or your child or your baby, I'll go home or I'll tell him, turn me up. It'll be all right. So don't. I love my brothers in the Lord. But also, as you go out the back doors or out any doors, you'll see men standing in the hallway. These guys are not there to attack you. These guys have committed themselves to serving this congregation in whatever capacity that they need to serve this congregation. So if you need something as you go out the doors, just talk to one of these guys and they'll point you in the right direction. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and surely pray for me this morning. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. God, I want to thank you for the excitement that I feel by being in your house. God, I woke up this morning just looking forward to the opportunity to be here in this congregation with my church family to worship you and to praise you. And God, I want to thank you so much for meeting here with us. God, I pray, dear Father, for the next few minutes as we get into your word, that you'll just speak to our hearts, God. You'll open our minds, God, and help us, Lord, just to be exactly what you'd have us to be and get exactly from your word what you'd have us to have. God, I pray most of all for each and every individual in this congregation. I know that we all have come with needs in our life, God, that there's probably not one that is just exactly where we need to be, God, but we all have needs and we need to have those met by you. And God, I pray before we leave this service today that our needs will be met, God. We'll be walking with you the way that we should. And if there's one here today that's lost, that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. God, we thank you for loving us so much that you gave your Son to die on a rugged cross for sinners like us. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Before we get into John chapter number 10 and verse number 10, I want to give you some victory verses this morning. These are some things that I keep kind of stuck in my Bible, and I've got them highlighted in my Bible app on my phone, and these are what I call some of my victory verses, and Shannon's going to put them up on the screen for us as we go through. But the first one I want us to look at this morning is 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I want us to know this morning that as we're sitting here in this congregation, that greater is he that's within you than he that's within this world. This is going to be very important in the latter part of the message here in just a few minutes, but I think it's important that we as Christians understand that God created us to have victory in our lives, that God created us to point others to the cross of Christ, that God created us to be in a relationship with him, and in order to do that, he said, "I'm going to give you victory." He said, "I'm going to make it to where greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world." Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Romans chapter number 8, verse number 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans chapter number 8, verse number 31, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" As we look at these five verses this morning, and each and every one, there is a theme of victory. There is a theme of overcoming. There is a theme of us living in a place that God wants us to live in a relationship with Him, to where we have victory over this world, to where we have victory over sin, over death, and that we have victory over Satan. And this morning I want to ask you the question, are you living in a victorious state of mind? Are you living in a victory-filled life? Are you living where God wants us to live? Are you living in the place that God has created us to be inhabitants of? And I want you to think about this morning in each and every one of these verses. If you go back and you read them one at a time and you look, that God created us for victory. But in each and every one of those verses, they point us back to God or back to Christ, one and the same. That the only way that we can have the victory that God wants us to have is that we surround ourselves, that we dedicate ourselves, that we surrender ourselves unto God's will in our life and into God's leadership in our life. So if you're here this morning, you're saying, no, preacher, I'm not living a victorious life. I'm not living in victory. I'm not living in the place that God has created me to live in, then I want you to know that there might be something in your life that is keeping you from being fully surrendered unto God, that is keeping you from having God all about your life and God all about my life. I want to tell you this morning that there's been times in my life that I was living a victorious life that God has created me to live in. And there have been times even in my Christian life that I felt defeated, that I felt a long ways from God, that I felt that I was not walking where God had created me to walk. And each and every time when I took a look at my life, it was because I was not surrendering myself unto God the way that I should be surrendering myself unto God. Now, God has created us for this victory. You know, even back in the garden, when He created Adam and Eve there in the garden, He created them a place and He said, man, this is going to be perfect for you. Everything here is going to be just wonderful for you. He said, but here in the middle of the garden, there's going to be a tree that I don't want you to eat out of. And long as you don't eat out of that tree, you're going to live a victorious life. And I believe with all my heart that each day that God would visit the garden and that He would speak to Adam and Eve. And as long as they were there surrounded in His presence, surrendering unto Him, listening to His command not to eat of that tree, then everything was victorious in their life. That everything was wonderful. But then we come to John chapter number 10, verse number 10. The Bible tells us the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. You know, I want us to know this morning that when Jesus Christ gave His life on Calvary, when He laid down His life, they did not take His life from Him, but He laid His life down freely for you and I. That when Jesus Christ paid that price, that He paid a debt that we could not pay, that He gave His life for something that you couldn't do, that He gave His life and He paid a price to give you victory over death, hell, and the grave. And that when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that that is a finished work. You know, back in the Old Testament, when the men had to go into the temple and they had to apply the sacrificial blood to the mercy seat in order to get atonement for the sins of the people, that only lasted a year. It was only good until the next year at the time of atonement. But I want you to know that when I fell down on my knees at 7 years old and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, I didn't understand all about the Bible. I didn't understand everything that I still don't understand all about it. But I didn't understand even what I know now. But when I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and to wash my sins away and make me one of His children and to become Lord of my life, that was a finished work. I don't have to go and get saved again when I messed up. I do believe I have to go and ask God for forgiveness for things in my life from time to time, but that is a finished work. That is something that nobody can take away from me. And I wanted to go into that to tell you this, that here in John chapter number 10 and verse number 10, that when the Bible says that the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy, that Satan is a thief and Satan is after to steal from you. But if you're here and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, He cannot steal your salvation. That is not something that is any power of His to take your salvation from you. That is between you and God and the finished work of Calvary this morning. And Jesus' blood washed your sins away. You are saved this morning. But I want you to know something, that the thief is in the house. The thief has come to steal. The thief has come to kill, and he has come to destroy. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I completely understand what you're asking or what you're saying this morning. I want you to know that even as Adam and Eve was there in the garden and as God had created them the perfect place to exist, He had created them the closest thing to heaven that was ever here on earth. And he had put them there in this garden, that the Bible teaches us that even there in the garden, that one day here comes Satan. That one day here comes Satan in the form of a serpent. And he climbed up on a tree and he said, Eve, he said, did not God command you that you should not eat of the tree of this garden? And he began to twist God's word, and he began to try to get Eve to misunderstand or to take God's word out of context in order to try to trick her. And the Bible tells us that he was more subtle than any animal that there was, and that he was good at tricking, that he was good at laying that foundation to get her to doubt. And y'all know the story, how that Eve, she took of the fruit and she took it to her husband, and that how they ate the fruit, and as they ate the fruit, they realized that they were naked. And the Bible tells us that God come to the garden one day, and that God called for Adam. The Bible says that Adam went and hid himself because he realized that he was naked. And that when Adam finally spoke up and answered to God, you don't want to know something? That God knew exactly where Adam was at. That God knew, the only reason he wanted Adam to realize where Adam was at. And as we're here this morning, God knows exactly where you're at spiritually. Hey, I got my shirt and my tie on. I got my pretty britches on. I got my Christianity on this morning. But God knows exactly where my heart is. God knows if I'm seeking him. God knows if you're seeking him. You may be here this morning and you may have been attending this church for years and years. But God knows whether or not your heart is right with him. God knows whether or not you're saved. But as Adam is there in that garden and God begins to call out to him, I wonder if in his mind, Adam said, you know what? I had the perfect place. I was here in this garden. God gave me the perfect helpmeet. God made me over all of the things in the garden, over all the animals. God gave me the perfect relationship with him. And because I have went against God, it has all been stolen from me. It all has been taken from me because I fell for what the devil brought to me. See, the devil, he knows he can't have your salvation, but yet he wants to steal your joy, your comfort, your witness, your happiness. He wants to take those things from you, and he wants to make it to where you can't have any influence in anybody else's life, to where you can't point anybody else to the cross of Christ, to where you won't be given God glory with your life. Satan wants to steal those things from you. And what I don't understand is somehow or another that we as Christians, we've got into a place to where we're very comfortable with our worship. We're very comfortable with our what we call a relationship with God. And we allow Satan to work in our lives. See, you want to know something? That Satan can't touch you without God's permission. And even after that, if we stand against Satan, if we rebuke him and refuse him, he can't do anything to us. But yet we allow him to do things in our life. Just as Eve took the fruit of the tree and took it to her husband, she allowed Satan to have that power to steal. See, if I would, old Matt over here, he's a big old boy. You know, sometimes you'll see me, when I go over here to shake hands with Matt, if he reaches to hug me, I step up in the pew because I feel like a little bitty fellow when I reach up there to hug him. He's a big old fella, and he's got a brand new little baby sitting over there. And I guarantee you, if I went over and tried to take that little baby, and let's just pretend that his wife's not with him because she would claw me first, but if I tried to take that little baby and was going to steal that little baby, Matt would be on me so fast. He would work me over. He would see me coming. I guarantee you there's times that he's on alert anyway. He's paying attention around in his area to see if there's any harm that can come to his wife, his child, and himself. And you know what? We're all kind of in the same way, because even with my girls, one of my biggest fears is that someone might steal one of my girls one day. I don't know why I don't have that fear with my son. I know it's still possible, but he's 15, and I expect him to make good choices and be in good places. But there, for some reason, the way our world is God, and I mean, you hear about the sex trafficking and everything, I worry about my little girls. And I hardly will let them in a strange place, hardly let them go to the bathroom by themselves. I'll send them together, or I'll walk with them anymore, especially if I'm out of Ararat or Pilot or Cana. If you go any further south and you get into Winston, I'm going to the bathroom with them. Because I'm scared that someone will steal my children. And I would be scared that I would lose everything that I had, because I would use every minute of my life from there on hunting my child. Trying my best to figure out where they're at. Trying my best to get them back home. But you know, one thing that I can do to try to be sure that I don't spend the rest of my life looking for a child that has been taken from me, that has been stolen from me. It's to keep my guard up, keep my eyes up, and be sure that they're not taken in the first place. Because I want to tell you something here this morning, parents, that Satan desires to steal your children right out of your home. Satan desires to steal your children. He desires to steal the spiritual life that you have tried to instill in them. He desires to take them out of that place, and he desires to show them all of this stuff that this world has to offer. He desires to get them out here into sin and to show them all of the things that we see as fun and that our flesh thinks is fun. And he desires to steal them right out of your home. And for whatever reason, we don't do like Matt would do and clobber the devil when he comes our way. We don't do like Matt would do and just beat me down when he sees me coming to try to harm his child or to steal his child. But sometimes we step back and we just say, well, that's just the world we're living in. They have to get used to it. They're going to learn it somewhere. And we allow the thief to come right in and to take what is ours. Preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to tell you what, there's a whole lot of influence out here in this world that we allow right into our Christian homes, and we allow it to begin to influence our children. And you're not alone. It happens in my house too. But yet, if here in a physical realm, if someone tried to steal your children, you would fight for them. You would stand for them. You would go against any kind of threat that come against them. But sometimes we allow Satan to walk right in and begin to influence our children. And we just sit back and we don't do anything. And the next thing you know, Satan has stolen our children. And then we spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out how to get them back. We spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out, how can I get my children back into God's house? How can I get them back under God's care? Are they saved? I don't know. Because the life that they're living, I don't know what's going on in their life. But why don't we stand up, look out for the devil, keep our eyes up, and when Satan comes, take a stand for God and keep him from taking our children. See, I want to show you another verse over here in Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 43. Now, I know that this is talking about the second coming of Christ. I'm not trying to take this out of context whatsoever, but I think this verse is very applicable to what we're talking about this morning. Verse number 43, the Bible says, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up." See, if we had known when the thief was coming. But you know what? I think sometimes we see the thief working in our homes. We see the thief working in our children. We see him trying to take our children right out of our homes, and yet we sit back and we don't do what we should be doing. Because I want to tell you something this morning. Probably for the last year and a half, I should have been doing devotions with my children each and every day. I should have been doing it since they were born. But I know that God has showed me and that I should be doing devotions with my children every day. But you know, there's these little episodes on Netflix that I just think are so important that I sit down and watch. You know, that new Shooter, it might be new, not new, but I'm new to Netflix. But that Shooter that was on, you know, about the sniper dude, man, I'm just caught up in that. And I'm watching Shooter instead of reading the Bible with my kids. I'm watching Shooter instead of going and praying with my kids at night. And I'll use me for an example so that y'all can stay holy and y'all can pray for me. But if we'll all look into our lives, I wonder how many times we put things before God. We put things before knowing that the thief is coming, that he's going to try to take our children, that he's trying to steal from us. If the good man had known that the thief was coming, well, I want to tell you this morning that the thief is coming. Watch out for him. I want to say to us this morning, not only is God after our children, but God is after our relationships. God is after our marriages in our church. The thief is after the marriages in our church. See, you know, God is blessing our church hand over fist right now. It's just amazing to see what God's doing. I can't take any credit for it whatsoever because, like I've told you several times, I have listened to myself preach and I have no idea why anybody would ever come back to hear me preach a second time. Don't know why. I mean, I can understand you getting suckered into one, but I don't know why you come back the second and third time. So I know that it's all God doing it. And I'm so thankful that God is working in our church. But I want to tell you something, that while our church is on fire and while our church, that we're allowing God to work in our church, that if Satan don't feel like that he can get into this big family right here, he's going to try to get into your family, and he's going to try to get into my family, and he's going to try to get into your family until he starts. And then the next thing you know, he's into seven or eight families in the church, and now he's in the church. That Satan is after the families in our church. And I want to tell you that the thief is coming. Well, I want to tell you something. I like all of you guys in this church pretty good. Most of you, I mean, I know you real good and personal. I mean, you're my friends. But I want to tell you something. If I catch one of you after my wife, I'm going to bust you in the nose. Amen. I catch one of you a little too friendly with my wife, I may give you just a little bit of a discussion the first time, but the second time there's not going to be any discussion. And you may end up whipping me, but I'm going to get one good blind shot in, I promise you. And when I see somebody trying to work into my family and try to get in there and get to wiggling around and trying to mess up my family, man, you're trying to steal something from me. You're trying to take something from me. And I'm going to do my best not to allow that to happen. But why do we as Christian married people, why do we see the devil working in our families? We see the devil working in our homes. We see the devil trying to bust up our marriages. And we give in, we give up, and we allow him just to get in there and to work and do anything he wants to. We allow him just to get in there and get to twisting and torquing. Instead of going, God, I know something's going on. Satan's trying to, we need help. God, I'm going to seek you, because you know what? A little over 19 years ago, I stood in front of a congregation of people and I made a vow to God and I made a vow to all those people in that congregation that I would love my wife through good times, through bad times, when finances were wonderful, when finances were terrible, if things messed up in our relationship, if she puts on 100 pounds, if she's ugly or whatever. I made a vow that I was going to stay with her, that I was going to love her, and that I was going to be hers until the day we die. I understand that sometimes things happen that are out of our control, but I have every intentions of keeping that vow to God and to all of those people in my life. Amen. And can I just tell you that it hasn't been too long ago, I mean very recently, within the past few months, that Satan has tried to drive a wedge in my family, that Satan has tried to drive a wedge in me and my wife. And for a few weeks in my life, I allowed it to happen. No, I wasn't chasing women. My wife wasn't chasing men. There was just something there. There was a wedge, and I was too stubborn, and I was too hard-headed that I allowed Satan to divide that thing. And can I just tell you that there was times, again, I wasn't thinking about another woman whatsoever, but there have been times that I've been riding down the road and just thought, you know, if it was just me, I wouldn't have all of these problems. If it was just me, I wouldn't even have to contend with that. Now, my wife's not here this morning, so I hope she's not watching. But if it was just, and you know what that is? That's the devil working. That's the devil trying to steal something from me. That's the devil trying to take something from me. And just as I told each and every one of you that if I see you getting too friendly with my wife and trying to take her from me, that I will bust you in the nose, why in the world do I not have that opportunity and that same mindset for Satan when he comes in and starts messing with my family? But yet I get in the car and I begin to listen to him. And I begin to say, you know what, that sounds pretty good. You know what, that's right. Instead of saying, Satan, I know what you're doing, bust you in the mouth, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord, and I'm going on for the glory of God. Now, thankfully enough, I got over my stubbornness, and I got through my mindset, and I've made things right with my wife. And like I said, I mean, it wasn't like I'd packed a bag or anything. Y'all know the strain, right? Amen? Come on, don't leave me up here by myself. It's a strain. It's work to get through marriage. It's hard, and especially when you got a rascal in the middle of it trying to divide it day in and day out. You ain't gonna take nothing from my house. I think it's kind of weird. I was praying and asking God for some confirmation on the message this morning. The first thing Alan done was mention about a thief, about thieves in Sunday school. And then I come right out here and was talking, and Matthew said that somebody stole two of his Yeti coolers while they were at the beach. And I said, I can't stand a thief, can you? Now, if we knew who that thief was, we'd go after him. We'd go get them coolers back, and we'd bust him in the mouth and then say, can we pray for you? You need to get your heart right with God so you don't do this again. And by the way, here's something to wipe the blood with. I mean, that's the way. But I want to tell you this morning that Satan is such a conniving thief. Satan is so good at what he does. And he gets away with it a whole lot, even in our Christian lives. You know, I remember somebody telling me that had taken this concealed carry class just here recently, that if I pull up in my driveway and there is people toting stuff out of my house, they're robbing me, that I am supposed to go away and call the popo. I'm supposed to go away and call the police. I can't promise you that that's what I'm going to do. I'm just saying that's what I'm supposed to do. Because when they told me that, I was like, do you mean I'm supposed to go over there and more or less help them carry the stuff out and help them load it, and let's be sure we get it tied down good so it don't fall off? That's what you're telling me? That, yeah, pretty much. But you know, and as silly as that sounds, and as outrageous as that sounds, and I'm almost sure that there's not a person in this congregation that would do that, except please always be careful and take your life and your safety first. But there's always, I don't know if there's one in here in the congregation that would do that. We'll sit back and we'll let Satan rob from us, and sometimes we even help him. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Hey, you want to know my biggest weapon against Satan? Just about every one of you carried one into this congregation this morning. I've got a weapon right here. The Bible tells me that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it cuts coming and a going, that this is my shield, this is my fortress, this is my high tower, that I can run to this, and man, I can rebuke Satan, and because of those verses that we read earlier, that I can have victory through Jesus Christ. Man, we need, but instead, we bring it to church on Sunday, and we take it home, we lay it on our nightstand behind our Bible, so we'll remember where it's at next Sunday. We'll take it home and you know, we'll pray here in just a few minutes and we'll dismiss service. Matter of fact, if y'all will, come on, sing that song again. All My Hope Is in Jesus. I like that. We'll pray right here in a minute and we'll dismiss service and we'll go home or actually we'll stop at a restaurant or make a home fix a sandwich or whatever, and we'll pray then. But instead and really getting sincere and earnest with God in prayer, we might do that once this week. We might do it twice. And that's where we can defeat Satan, when we see him trying to take our children, when we see him trying to get into our marriages and steal our marriage from us, when we see him trying to rob us from all the things that God has given us, our peace and our joy and our comfort. We see Satan trying to do all of that. And instead of going, you know what, you rascal, I've got victory over you. And I'm going to stand strong, I'm going to stand firm, and through Jesus Christ, you're going to be defeated. But instead of doing that, we tuck our tail, and we let him do what he came to do. Preacher, that's rough. Hey, I'm going to just tell you, I've experienced it in my life. I've done it too. In just the past few weeks, I let Satan get in my mind and just begin to pound junk in my mind. And again, it wasn't that it was just so terrible or anything, but I was really getting to the place where I thought, you know what, is the work that we put into this marriage really worth it? Is what we do really, man, I'm just telling you, this is tough. I'll go this far. Now, I want y'all to know that I love my wife. I couldn't ask for a better helpmeet that God's given me. There is no other woman on the face of this earth that would put up with me. No possible way. But I have even been riding down the road, and this is the kind of thought that Satan will put into your mind. Can you afford child support? Really? Now, you tell me that that's not Satan trying to work and in your mind and in your family and begin to divide and begin to separate and begin to get in there and just cause all kinds of junk going on in your family. Absolutely, that's what it is. But I want you to know this morning that me and you and every single one of us, we have victory right here through Jesus Christ. Y'all, please don't sit and think it. Anything of that I don't love my wife or that we're about to separate or anything like that. I love my wife so much. I'm just using me for an example because you know what? God put me here as an under-shepherd. And everybody thinks that the preachers, man, they just have it so easy and everything is so good in their life and everything's so wonderful. But I want to tell you what, the devil tries to steal from me just like he does from every one of y'all too. The devil tries to steal my children. The devil tries to steal my marriage. The devil tries to steal my joy and my comfort, my peace. The devil tries to take all that from me. But I want to tell you what, I'm glad that I ran back to the book, that I found the place where I was supposed to be, that I got my heart right with God first of all, got my heart right with my wife second of all, and I'm ready to press on for the glory of God and let him use us as the team that he put us together as, and I'm not going to let him steal from me. And I challenge you, in your life, Don't let Satan steal from you. Nobody likes a thief. Amen? So why will we open the door for Satan in our life? With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, if Jennifer will play something for just a minute. Maybe you're here this morning. I don't know your heart. Look, as I look across the congregation, there's people in this congregation that I don't know who you are. But I want to tell you this morning that God knows exactly who you are, that He knows exactly where you're sitting, and you're here by His divine will. And if you have a need this morning, He has brought you here that He can meet that need. Maybe there'd be one here this morning say, "Preacher, I'm lost. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've allowed the devil to steal some things from me. I've allowed him to steal even having salvation. And preacher, I don't know if I can come this morning or not, but I want you to pray for me. I just want you to call my name out in prayer when you pray, that God will have mercy on me and that I will seek salvation before it's everlasting too late." Would there be one in the congregation anywhere? Just lift your hand. Say, "Preacher, pray for me." Maybe you're here this morning, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, you know that you're saved, you know that it's a finished work in your life, you're not worried about going to hell, but you know that you've allowed Satan to steal from you. You know that he has stole your joy, he has stole your peace, he has stole some things in your life. You might be here this morning, you might be saying, "The devil's trying to steal my children, the devil's trying to steal my marriage, and I'm sick of it. I'm not going to watch the thief work in my life." Preacher, will you pray for me? Preacher, will you just pray for me? God sees the hand. God sees hands all over the church. God sees the hands. Just lift them and put them right back down. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. I'm tired of the devil stealing from me. I'm tired of it. I'm not going to allow it anymore. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for this day. God, I want to thank you for the victory that you've given us over the thief. God, I want to thank you that through your blood that we have a finished work in our life. And God, just as I am sometimes, I see Satan come into my life and try to steal stuff from me. God, there's people all over this congregation that has said that they know the thief is working. God, we've seen him and we want to stand up against him. God, we want to use your word and the power and the glory of your name to rebuke him this morning. God, I pray, dear Father, here in just a minute as we stand, God, I pray that you'll help us to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with you, and God, if we need help, to come and find this help here at an altar. God, I pray that you'll help us, God, just to trust you, because all of our hope is in Jesus. And it's his name we pray.